Well, good morning, New Life family, and welcome to our online worship service. If you don't know me, my name is Janessa Gritter, and I am the intern worship pastor here at New Life. And welcome to our ministry celebration service. This is a service that we do every year where we just get to celebrate the highs in our ministry and all the wonderful things that we've done together, even though it's been slightly different due to COVID. If you've just discovered New Life, we would love to connect with you further. And there is an online form available for you to fill out. Connect with us, and we'll reach back out to you and just develop a connection between us. And we also would love to see you in person. So on Tuesday mornings, our in-person services registration goes live, and you can register for our service. We would love to see you out, love to see you connecting and be in a worship service together. So our New Life Online Church is a platform that we are creating and developing to be able to connect to each other through our online ministry. So on July 4th, that's when we're going to start our online platform. So rather than going to YouTube, you can go to our website and follow the links and instructions to go to our online platform. There, you will be connected to a pastor or an elder in the church, be able to receive prayer, talk through the comments, and watch a live stream version of our church service. So these changes will start July 4th, and we just can't wait to connect with you online. Offering. Our offering today is for our New Life missionaries, and our missionaries are Fred Victory, he's in the Middle East, Eve Pohl, who's the director of Hope for Cora, Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn in Nigeria with Resonate Global Mission, and Fernando Trevino in Colombia, working through a new organization called Brand New Life Society, a ministry in that's working with youth in Bogota. And we are now receiving donations for Fernando through the society for tax receivable purposes. So let's pray for these missionaries and God's blessing on our offerings. Dear Lord, we thank you for your provision in this church, and we thank you that we are able to give and able to bless these missionaries with the work that they are doing. I pray for the people that will give to these missionaries. I pray that you bless them, and I pray that through these offerings that these missionaries can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we will join together in worship, singing some rejoicing songs, and then we are going to hear from Pastor Nathan, Pastor Mike, and Pastor Justin as they reflect on this ministry, this past ministry year.
And I raise a hallelujah in the place. Louder than the unbelief.
right. Hey, it's Ministry Celebration Sunday. Actually, we've been in celebration mode for the last several Sundays as we followed our way through the book of Philippians. And today we're taking a look at the last two chapters of Philippians as we concentrate on the theme of togetherness. That's what we've been talking about as we've observed that Paul expresses and displays a wonderful sense of unity, even though he was 1,300 kilometers away from his beloved congregation. And so today we want to reflect on those two chapters, and I've brought in some help. And so together with Justin and Mike, we're going to reflect on these last three chapters following our vision for New Life Ministry in this past year. We've been concentrating on a changed life, a diverse community, and a radical impact. So allow me to reflect some on a changed life and how we've accomplished that in this past ministry year. Indeed, a changed life might well be an understatement. Our lives have been changed, obviously, from busyness, sometimes crazy busyness, to shutdowns, which has sometimes afforded us rest and relaxation. But our lives have been changed nevertheless. They've been changed from, hectic schedules as well, to just sitting on the couch, binge-watching on Netflix. Our lives have changed from companies coming to going stir-crazy all by yourself at home. Our lives have changed from ambitious travel plans to, well, a mere trip to the grocery store. And of course, what we mean by a changed life in the context of ministry is life that is changed through Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. We've tended to count on worship services to do that. And indeed, sometimes it happens that way. Often happens that way, I'm sure. Something happens when you sit and stand together in an auditorium and you sing praises to God. To be able to have that kind of fellowship together and to hear the praise echoing all around you. To have that kind of fellowship, and by fellowship, of course, we mean physical presence. It's a beautiful thing and it's an inspiring thing. But this year, we've had to rely on something other than the weekly experience of a church service. Something other than a weekly church service to keep us in connection, in relationship to the God we serve. And perhaps we've always had to rely on more than just that experience. In fact, Paul certainly would suggest that indeed in times of difficulty and hardship and struggle and suffering, it's dangerous, in fact, to rely on your experience. It's dangerous to rely on the experience that simply gives you a warm, cozy feeling of being in connection with God. What we do have to rely on, Paul would say, is simply the desire to know Christ. Here's how he puts it. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, gains in life, so he had just finished a list of all the things that would make him righteous in the eyes of people, all of his performance things. But whatever were gains to me, he says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, Paul says. Everything but Christ, according to Paul, is worthless It's like garbage to him. If it's not about knowing Christ, so deep is his desire to know Christ. Now, it's tempting to say that, well, we should all feel that way, and shame on you for having any kind of passion for anything else. But I don't think that's what Paul is saying here. Paul's not intending to make this into a competition, like, I can do it better than you. My desire for knowing Christ is greater than yours. It's not meant to be that kind of competition that simply instills guilt into us. Paul mentions it so that fellow Christians, in the first place, simply don't worry about Paul, because Paul is in the midst of hardship. He's in a difficult place, and he doesn't want fellow Christians to be worrying about him. And so he states what he's confident in. But he also mentions it to remind them that their true unity, their true purpose in life is in Christ. Now, we lost some things in this past ministry year, some of our freedoms to gather together. We lost that. We lost the freedom to travel wherever we wanted. But Paul would say, knowing Christ is worth way more than that. We lost some of our happiness in meeting together, in meeting loved ones, in gathering with relatives or friends even. But Paul would say, knowing Christ is worth way more than that. We've lost some of our security through perhaps the loss of income. And perhaps Paul would admonish us with that. But he would also say, knowing Christ is worth way more than that. Knowing Christ can never be taken from us, never denied. It's the single pursuit of our lives, the only concern of any consequence to our living. Knowing Christ is what we've been about. It's what we've been about long before the pandemic. It's certainly going to be what we're about after the pandemic, and it has been throughout this ministry year. During the pandemic, it's what we've been all about, to know Christ. Which begs the question then, what did God reveal about himself as we gathered in front of screens to worship him? What did you learn about your faith as you sat on the couch in your pajamas going to church? How did you praise God if you felt weird singing without a crowd to hide behind? My father just recently moved from independent living to a full care facility. He's lost a lot of things, health-wise, physically. When I visited him the other day, I wondered how he was adjusting to his new living conditions. He'd lost the ability to just walk freely. He's so unsteady. He can't swallow very well and has lost his ability to eat anything he feels like. He's beginning to lose his voice. And he doesn't drive anymore. He's lost a lot of independence. And as he sat in the chair the other day, he said, "The nice thing about being here in this facility," he said, "is that you can concentrate on your spiritual life. Quite frankly, because that's all you have left." I was so encouraged by that because essentially what he was saying was, my only ambition now is to know Christ. That's an important reminder for me and a precious treasure that I'll always carry with me. To be changed by Jesus. That means to know him. To know him more and more, not just as an acquaintance, but as the very heartbeat of our lives. To be changed by Jesus is to grow in your desire for him, despite whatever pressure pulls you away from him. To be changed by Jesus is to flourish with him, despite whatever restrictions might obstruct your otherwise comfortable life. To be changed by Jesus is to make your ambition and your purpose, to have a vision of Christ in all that you do, despite whatever other attraction excites you. And so that's our goal for the coming year. Life change. To know Christ. As Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and his participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. We're going to continue on in this passage in Philippians, and I'm going to be reading from Philippians 3, verse 12 and onward. Would you please follow along with me, starting in verse 12? Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with many tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Amen. This is such a powerful passage. This is such a powerful passage because it applies so well to our current circumstances. It applies well to us as a globe, as a world, as a culture, and it applies well to us even as a church. So we've all experienced loss and hardships and difficulties over the last 18 months. It's been a difficult season. We've experienced loss of loved ones. We've experienced loss of jobs, livelihoods, possibly homes, careers. We've experienced a loss of many things, and not just physical. We've experienced a loss of community. We've experienced isolation and sadness and loneliness. And we've experienced a lack of connection and distance caused by this pandemic. And it's taken a toll. We've even experienced a loss of religious freedom because we haven't been able to gather the way that we would want to gather. It has been a difficult season. And Paul writes this letter to the believers in Philippi, and knowing that they had also experienced a lot of loss themselves. And while Philippi was a very well-to-do colony in the Roman Empire, the recipients of this letter would not have been privileged to those well-to-do rights. They would have been the Greek people that were the original inhabitants of the land and who were there when the Romans came in to take over and colonize. And so they would have been under Roman oppression. They would have experienced loss of loved ones as a result of fighting or battle years past. They would have experienced loss of their homes and their livelihoods and their lands to Roman soldiers and rulers and to whatever the Romans wanted to do with their land. They would have experienced a loss of equality, not being able to have a say or vote in whatever happened in their land. They would have not enjoyed religious freedom either. In that time, there was such a limited amount of Christians, especially in Philippi, but they wouldn't have enjoyed any religious freedom because Rome was of the impression that Caesar was a god and that everyone is to worship him. And in the midst of this knowledge and understanding, we see Paul write to them this letter, and I want to suggest that he encouraged them with three things that we find in this passage that I just read. First, we see Paul urging them to forget what is behind. Forget what is behind. Paul, knowing the hardships that they endured and the losses that they experienced and the difficulties that they had faced, he says, forget what is behind. Forget the injustices of the past. Forget the grudges that you've held on to. Forget the resentment and the bitterness that is caused by those who were oppressing you. He wrote this letter, and just in this little passage that we just read, but just before this, in the same letter, he gives them the example of what it is to let go of these things of expectations and hopes that you might have had by using Jesus. He says that Jesus, even though he was a king and God, he humbled himself and he came to this earth and he came as a servant and he did so obediently and without complaining. He said, this is the example by which you should forget what is behind. He doesn't want them to hold on to the pain of the past or what had happened to them, to hold them back, to bog them down, to cause them to become bitter and resentful. He said, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. He also calls them to forget their former lives, lives that they would have led in sin before. He says, forget what is behind. He calls them out of sin and into righteousness. And he reminds them that it's Jesus Christ that caused them to walk into righteousness. They've been saved by grace, through faith, into righteousness, not on anything that they have done themselves, but on the action of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. He calls them to forget what is behind. Secondly, we see Paul reminding them of their identity. We see in verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is so key. Paul didn't use this analogy randomly. He didn't just choose this without purpose, but he intentionally chose the word citizenship. He intentionally chose the word citizenship because the believers at that time would have understood the privilege that comes with citizenship, the belonging that comes with citizenship, and the rights and unification that comes with citizenship. They would have seen their Roman oppressors enjoying citizenship, privilege, rights, wealth, and every kind of blessing that they would not have received. See, Paul spins this earthly and temporary blessing that they were not privileged to into an eternal identity, which they would have clinged so quickly to, and they would have loved so much. He spins this temporary earthly blessing that they weren't privileged to into an eternal identity. He took something that was used against them, and he turned it for their good. Sounds like God, eh? That's awesome. He calls them citizens of heaven and makes their daily pursuit heavenward. As the example that he sets, he says, we are going heavenward, heavenward. And he says, your citizenship is in heaven, not here. That would have spoken loudly to them. And when he calls them citizens of heaven, he not only unites them with the diverse community of believers in Philippi, but he unites them with the believers across the globe from Philippi all the way to Jerusalem. He unites them with those believers under one banner, under one name, and under one pursuit and identity. So he calls them into their identity. It's a powerful one. Thirdly, we see Paul calling them to press on towards the goal. Now within that unity of believers, reminding them of their identity, which is in community, he calls them to unite in action and in mind. He's calling his believers back to unity of mind and of action. Bring them back from the distractions of this world, of things that have happened before and might cause distraction and holding them back, into a goal and a purpose. And so we see, he says, press on toward the goal. That goal is Jesus, the calling and purpose that Jesus gave us, which is the Great Commission. And he says to do this together in community. How does he do that? He tells him in verse 17, he says, to keep an eye on those who live as we do. Live as we do, right? The example set for you. How did they live? They lived lives on mission. They lived lives on purpose. They lived their lives centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they would have seen the disciples and the apostles living the way that they did and recognize that this is a calling and pursuit. And he calls them to do that in community, to watch one another, and to live that out. And this is the calling of every believer. And this passage and Paul's challenge to the Philippian believers in this time is a challenge and a call to each one of us today. So how do we take on this challenge for ourselves in our circumstances? First, by forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind doesn't mean that we forget about losses or hardships that we endured, but it means to not be bogged down and to not allow those injustices, what we might have felt, those hardships and the sadness that's caused, we don't allow those to determine our identity and who we are. We don't live in those things any longer. We strain towards what is ahead. Maybe as a result of COVID, you lost your job or you lost that dream or perhaps that opportunity you felt was once in a lifetime. But if you stay in that thought process and in that space, you can become sad, angry, eventually resentful, and then bitter. And that prevents us from living in the lives that God calls us to live. And I've experienced this on a small scale myself. So as many of you know, my mom, my dad, my brothers, and their families all live in the U.S. And I haven't seen my mom and dad for over 2 years now. I haven't seen my brothers for over 4 years and their families. And it's starting to wear on me and my family a little bit. Last year, my brother got married, and I wasn't able to be there for his wedding, and I haven't even met my sister-in-law. My other brothers had two kids who don't know Uncle Justin. And when I think about the loss of memories and times and fun we could have had over the last portion of time, my heart becomes sad. And if I stay in that place, I can become angry and entitled and just like, oh, it's my right. I should be able to do these things. I should be able to be with my family. I should be able to do this, that, and the other. And it causes me to be bitter and not to be present and not to live like the example that Jesus set and Paul set for these believers as well. It takes us out of what we're supposed to do. Forgetting what is behind is a call to be heavenward. This also call to forget what is behind is to not be defined by sin. To not be defined by sin. Over the past 18 months, our community, our church, we've experienced a lack of togetherness and a lack of being able to spur one another on. And I've heard a lot of brothers and sisters over the last 18 months say, I feel like my faith has taken a dip. I feel like my relationship with God has kind of taken a back seat. I've heard a lot of people say that. And I think on a lot of levels, many of us have experienced that at some point or another during this time, a lack of connection because we're not meant to be in isolation. We're not meant to live our faith in isolation. But if that resonates with you at all, if that resonates with you at all, like I feel like my faith has taken a bit of a dip, God doesn't want you to be defined by that. That is something that he says to forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead, and live a life heavenward as a citizen of heaven. If you feel at all like that, remember his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness is there for each one of us. So we lay those things at the foot of the cross. We say, Lord, we're sorry. Repent and come back. Because again, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and that righteousness is not on account of anything that we have done or didn't do. So let's walk back into that, forgetting what is behind. Let's walk towards what is ahead. So how else do we take on this challenge for today? We remember our identity. We remember our identity. These days, for whatever reason, there are so many differences that we experience. There's so many views. There's so many polarized views within our culture, but not only within our culture, within our church, and within Christianity, within fellow believers. Beliefs about politics, about COVID, about where the nation is going, all these things, even about traditions and religion. And we have so many different perspectives, and we're stating these perspectives, but not often in person. And all these things can cause division. And that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants us to be divided. The enemy wants us not to be unified. But this is the call for us, that we are to be citizens of heaven, under one umbrella, under one banner, under one name, just like our brothers and sisters in Philippi. And now more than ever, it is important for us to let go of any other allegiance than our citizenship of heaven primarily. Our identity is as children of God. And in that space, when we live and are defined by that, that's when all the other things can just fade away and we can walk into the calling that we've been called to do. We cannot have our eyes on earthly things, but on our eternal citizenship. And we do that by being under the same banner, under the same name, which is Christ, and on the same purpose, which is the gospel. And this way we'll be united and fruitful. Lastly, how do we take on this challenge for today? By pressing on toward the goal. Pressing on toward the goal. How do we press on? We press on together. We press on together by building one another up, by spurring one another on, and we do that by being in community. We cannot do this outside of community. We cannot let isolation to hold us back. We cannot let social awkwardness to prevent us from being back in community. We cannot allow comfort to distract us from what God wants us to call us into our joint pursuit. Paul says, press on by following the example set for us, by keeping an eye on those who live like Christ. We can't keep an eye on those who live like Christ unless we are together in community. And in order to do that, we need to come together so that we can rejoice again together, so we can fight alongside each other together, so we can stand for each other. So let's get back into community together and rejoice together again. Things are changing for us, and Lord willing, they will continue to do so in the near future. But regardless of the future, let's not be characterized by the past, so forgetting what is behind, and put our identities as citizens of heaven who press on towards the goal in community together. That is our goal, and that is our purpose. We're now going to join Mike for the last portion of this text.
Friends, let's look back at this past year and see how God has used his people, and let us rejoice. And let's also look forward to the coming year and see the strength that God has for us there, already waiting. We're going to look together and be guided by Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 to 13. Let's look first at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. We want to rejoice now. God has been at work. He has been at work in your life. He's been at work through you, and he has been at work through this church in the city of Abbotsford. There is so much that our faithful God has done this past year, and we want to rejoice, but we can't touch on all of them. We'll just touch on a few main items. Let us do this for the purpose of rejoicing in God. Philippians 4, verse 6, the next verse says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests before God. Anxiety descended on all of us last year when we were required to close the church building, stay away from others, stay home, and be extra cautious. Anxiety filled us all. Concern. The economy changed. People began to get sick. People lost their jobs. There was so much to be concerned about. And this came about so fast. It was hard to process, hard to know what the future was going to be like. And we determined that we were going to pray. And we wanted to pray all together. We wanted to have a way where we could hear each other's prayer requests. We knew the needs would be great. We wanted to have the healthy people pray and the sick people pray. And we wanted to pray all together. We had to find out how. Then we realized the smartphone app that we have called New Life is on each of our phones. And it had a feature called the prayer wall. And we turned it on. And in April of 2020, began daily prayers through the prayer wall. People submitted prayer requests. And since that time, we've received over 100 prayer requests. And there are people that turn there daily from this church. And it has become a hub of prayers and of prayers, a powerful meeting together of needs and God's people bringing requests to God. It has been something that has been on every day for 5 days a week. And there have been prayers for healing, prayers for jobs, prayers for salvation for our family or for our friends. Currently, there are 28 people represented by their initials on the prayer wall that have been submitted by New Life people so that others would pray for their salvation, that God would draw them to himself in faith, and they would have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. We are praying for revival. We're praying for the Dallaire community. We have seen miracles. We have seen people given strength as they go through treatments. We have seen people get jobs. It's been a beautiful place of a spiritual community, of people coming together to present their requests, their needs, their concerns, their burdens, and a place for people to pray in love and in faithfulness. Let us rejoice in a God who not only hears prayers, but wants us to present them to him. The prayer wall has been a place to rejoice in this past year. Philippians 4 verse 8 now says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about these things. And we were challenged by this at the end of 2020. You know, we were filled with concern for ourselves, and God began to shift our minds and think, how can we look past our own concerns and look to the mounting needs that are in the city of Abbotsford? And that was the birth of Serve 2021, where we as a church gathered together and had a different cause each month to serve. We began by helping gather clothes for babies, for parents who couldn't have the necessary household items for their children. We helped clothe babies. We drove for the food bank. We collected food for agencies, for the food bank, for hungry people in Abbotsford. We cleaned streets. We prayed on the streets as we walked past our neighbors. We began to love this city more. We looked past ourselves. There are support agencies in Abbotsford area that are helping people get over, work through their own addictions. And we're supporting those agencies. We wanted to bless and thank hospital workers. That's our focus this month. And we began to see the people of God look past their own personal concerns and look to the concerns of others and think differently and think praiseworthily and think excellently about those things from God's perspective. Then in the early morning of February 14, 2021, a fire broke out in the Dallaire Court apartments. It was a tragedy. Over 200 people were affected. Some became homeless. Some lost all their earthly possessions. And just in just a small period of time, as fire roared through that apartment, people's lives were tragically changed. The pictures on social media were so jarring. It was traumatizing. And the moment we heard about it, that our neighbors were in trouble, just two doors down, we prayed and then we walked right into the situation, wondering how we as a church of hundreds of people could help with those who are now homeless, who don't have any possessions, and who are traumatized. How could we help? And when we got there, we discovered the church was already there. And we joined in. And we just stayed and tried to find things to help with. And soon, one thing led to another. We helped families find places to live. We collected household items, furniture, kitchenware, groceries. There was over $12,000 donated to help fire victims. This church responded so well and so beautifully and so willingly. We rejoice in God. And at one point, the auditorium of the church was a thrift store, like a grocery store. It was like a hardware store. And fire victims could come here. They could see all the donated items that was laid out, donated from people in Abbotsford that ended up here. They could take a shopping cart and find another pair of shoes, a new winter coat, some kitchenware, some knives or plates that they could eat. They found some food, some bathroom items. They found things to replace what they lost. And we could be a part of that. It's beautiful. We rejoice in how God has used his people. It's beautiful to know that in the middle of a tragedy, a faithful God calls his people to serve others on his behalf. We rejoice for what God has done and is doing. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. We've been learning anew, haven't we? How in difficult times, God gives us strength. This year has been a year of difficulty. But it's also been a year where we've learned about the character of God, the presence of God, the work of God in our lives and through our lives. And we rejoice in that. And let us hold on to this faith, because this mighty, holy King that we serve and that we receive salvation from, let us rejoice in his mighty hand as he works and as he repairs people's lives, as he draws people into a saving relationship with him. He calls us, his people, to speak on his behalf, to walk with the suffering, to help the needy, to care for those who are downtrodden and traumatized. We've learned those things. And as we look into the future, unknown what is ahead of us, let us take what God has sown in us and what he has taught us, and let's be faithful tomorrow, the next week, the next month, and next year. Let us remember that God can use us, that he gives us all things as he gives us strength to be faithful to him and to his call. We can now do all things from him who gives us strength. Let us rejoice in his strength, in his calling on our lives, and his constant presence with us as we serve this mighty King, this one who is with us. Amen.
Hello, New Life Church. When asked what I enjoyed the most about serving on the deacons team, my thoughts right away go to the community building. In particular, the people that I got to work with on the deacons team. You know, over my 3 years, I've gotten to know and spend time with and work with, 10 other members of the church that otherwise I probably wouldn't have gotten to know.
Hi, New Life Church. I'm Yolanda Apperly, if you don't know me, and I'm part of the deacons team. This ministry year, I had an opportunity to help out with the Del Air Court Fire Victims Fund. We provided relief with rental accommodations, supplies, and financial assistance to people who lost their home in a fire, an apartment fire. So many people lost everything. Some people lost some stuff. And so we worked together with the Salvation Army to supply the needs that these families had to relocate and regroup and remake their homes. So there were a bunch of highlights for me. One of them was just being connected to the Salvation Army. And another highlight was just connecting with the families who were involved in the fire and making relationships with them. But my biggest highlight was you, New Life Church. Really, it was all the members here. You responded. The emails came in. My phone was overwhelmed with emails and texts. Even while I was sleeping, you guys were all signing up. And we had enough volunteers, so thank you. It was incredible, and I am so proud to call myself a member of New Life. You love God and are willing to serve others in love, so thank you.
Also, it was a privilege to see firsthand just how generous our church is. You know, whenever there was a need, the church just met that need in abundance, and so. Serving on the deacons team has really given me appreciation for the congregation.
As the pandemic hit over a year ago now, the staff at New Life Church has just been instrumental to continuing to move New Life Church forward.
I've been very thankful this year for church continuing to go on despite the restrictions, and just so thankful for all the staff and all the effort that they've went through to learn new technology and just to bring our services to us at our homes, no matter what, every week.
We also, through online services, were able to reach people beyond our New Life family. And this is just a really cool thing. As I said, just feel God's hand in this situation in ways that we just did not anticipate.
I also am super thankful for our Bible study group that was able to start meeting together in the fall and winter, and then back up again this past spring. That's been really amazing, just to connect with each other and to continue to do our Bible study.
God has been good, just in so many ways, and certainly, as many of you, I look forward to once again getting together at the church in person and to be able to worship together. Just in thankfulness to our Lord and Savior, and also, as I said, to be able to recognize that we are able to reach out to the community around us and share God's love with those that aren't necessarily at New Life Church right now. God is good.
And now it's buried beneath my shame. And who could carry that kind of weight? It was my time till I met you.
thank you for being with us this morning as we celebrate the great things that God has done in our life and through us into the lives of those around us. We're excited to be able to participate in God's work in the world. And so as you go on into this summer even, we're praying that God will move in you and through you to accomplish his purposes. We thank God for you. Next week, we are moving to a 10 a.m. service. And so when you go online to register to attend in person at New Life Church, there will be one time slot that you register for, and that will be at 10 a.m. next Sunday. If you will be joining us virtually online, then the service will be available at 10 a.m. because you will be joining us live. And so we'll be worshiping together. It will be a wonderful thing. The service will also be available afterwards as normal on our YouTube channel for on-demand purposes. So go into this week filled with the joy of our great God, filled with love and a passion to serve him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.